In the practice of Vipassana, a meditator goes from say, one stage of knowledge to another. So the first stage of that knowledge is discerning mind and matter, or defining mind and matter. But that we have already done. So after gaining what we call momentary concentration, a meditator comes to see the mind and matter clearly. It's said to be the beginning of the vipassana knowledge. Then after seeing mind and matter clearly, he sees the causes of mind and matter, or cause-effect relationship between mind and matter, between mind and mind, between matter and matter. And when he has seen the causes and conditions of mind and matter, he is said to have reached the purity of views. And after discerning the causes and conditions of mind and matter, and he goes further in the series of the vipassana knowledges, and that is he tries to comprehend mind and matter clearly. So the chapter at the beginning of this chapter 20, it is said that the knowledge established by getting to know the path and not the path thus. And then one who desires to accomplish this should first of all apply himself to the inductive insight called comprehension by groups and so on. So he applies the comprehension by groups, or just the knowledge of comprehension of mind and matter. And we are just in the middle of this knowledge. So in order to comprehend mind and matter clearly, in order to practice comprehension by groups, then we are made to understand the three kinds of full understanding, and then how mind and matter are to be comprehended according to groups and so on. And then how to comprehend matter in different ways, and then how to comprehend what you call mind or mentality also, in what is immaterial. So first, the rupa, the matter, should be comprehended in seven different ways, and that is described in the paragraphs 46 and so on. That is called material septa. So seven kinds of comprehension of mind and matter. And then today we come to the immaterial septa. So he comprehends all natural materiality in this way. This is how he comprehends formations, by attributing the three characteristics to them by means of the material septa. So he comprehends all formations, that means all mind and matter, by attributing the three characteristics to them, that means seeing them as impermanent, as suffering, and as no self. Now, the other seven methods, and they are called the immaterial septet. The headlines of what was called above, the immaterial septet, are these: 1, by groups; 2, by pairs; 3, by moments; 4 by series, 5 by removal of false view, 6 by abolition of conceit, and 7 by ending of attachment. So these are the 7 ways to apply. So by group means the states belonging to the contact pentad. Now you don't know what contact pentad is, but please read the footnote. Contact pentad means contact, feeling, perception, volition, and consciousness. They are, in this order, they are mentioned in the first book of Abhidhamma, the Dhammasangani. So that is why they are called contact pentad. So 5 things beginning with contact. Contact, feeling, perception, volition, consciousness. It's on page 278. Here he comprehends by groups means that a bhikkhu considers thus. The states belonging to the contact pentad arising in the comprehending of head hairs as impermanent, painful, not self. The states belonging to the contact pentad arising in the comprehending of body hairs as in the contemplation of brain. Now, you see brain here. In the so-called 32 parts, brain is in the middle, not at the end. But in the Patisamvita Magga, in one of the important books, brain is put at the end of the list. Actually, only 31 parts are mentioned in the sotas, and mentioned in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta and other sotas. But in a book called Patisamvita Magga, which is ascribed to the Venerable Sariputta, the brain is added. And brain is added at the end and not in the middle as we do, as we practice meditation now. So in the contemplation of brain means he has come to the end of that list as impermanent, painful and not self. All these states disintegrate section by section, term by term, like crackling sesame seeds put into a hot pan, each without reaching the next. Therefore they are impermanent, painful, not self. This firstly is the method according to the discourse on purification. This is one way of doing contemplation by groups. Another way, according to the discourse on the Noble One's heritages, however, he is said to comprehend by groups when by means of his subsequent consciousness he comprehends as impermanent, painful, not self, that consciousness which occurred comprehending materiality as impermanent, painful, not self, in the 7 instances of the material subject given above. As this method is more suitable, we shall therefore confine ourselves to it in explaining the rest. Now, in the first method, a yogi takes the head hairs as an object of meditation, then body hairs, then the skin teeth, and so on. But in this method, he comprehend the consciousness itself, which comprehends head hair as impermanent, and so on. So here, a yogi does not go to other objects, so he is not distracted. That is why it is said that it is more suitable, because if you have to take the head hairs, body hairs, and so on, then at every time, and there is a renewal of, or there is a new subject of meditation. But here, you just take the consciousness, which takes them as object, which takes them as impermanent, and so on. So here it is not, a yogi is not distracted. That's why this method is said to be more suitable than the first one. So here, comprehending by group means actually comprehending the consciousness which comprehends head hairs and so on as impermanent and so on. So it is comprehending the comprehending consciousness. And by pairs, after the bhikkhu has comprehended as impermanent, painful, not self, the materiality of the taking up and putting down, that really means from birth to death, he comprehends that consciousness with which he was comprehending the materiality to as impermanent, painful, not self, by means of his subsequent consciousness. Here also, by one consciousness, he takes another consciousness as object of vipassana meditation. And he takes that consciousness also to be impermanent and so on. After he has comprehended as impermanent, painful, not self, the materiality of the disappearance of what grows old in each stage, that means mind and matter in one stage do not read to the next stage, and mind and matter in that stage also do not read to the succeeding stages and so on. So they are mentioned previously in this chapter. And that arising from nutriment, arising from temperature, karma-born consciousness originated and natural. He comprehends that consciousness too as impermanent, painful, not self by means of his subsequent consciousness. In this way, he is said to comprehend by pairs. So, first he comprehends the matter as impermanent and so on. Next, he takes the consciousness that takes matter as impermanent, and so on. So it is called pairs. In the first method, number one, by groups, in the first method, he does not comprehend like in pairs. He just comprehends the consciousness which takes head hairs, body hairs, and so on as impermanent. Here he takes this one. First he takes the, say, materiality as impermanent, and then he takes that consciousness which takes materiality as impermanent by another consciousness. So it goes like in pair. So that is called, the second method is by pairs. And the third method is by moments. After the bhikkhu has comprehended as impermanent, painful, not self, the materiality of the digging up and putting down from birth to death, he comprehends that first consciousness with which he was comprehending the materiality as impermanent, painful, not self, by means of a second consciousness. And that second consciousness by means of a third, and the third by means of a fourth, and the fourth by means of a fifth. So it is going in series. And that too, now, we have to make a correction here. So, and the fourth by means of a fifth, as that too is impermanent. So we will strike out the words, and that too he comprehends. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we don't need those words. So, and the fourth by means of a fifth, as that too is impermanent. So, by the fifth consciousness, he comprehends the fourth consciousness. That fourth consciousness too is impermanent, painful, and not self. Because here he does not comprehend the fifth consciousness. Only he comprehends the fourth consciousness by the fifth consciousness. So we should say, and the fourth by means of a fifth, as that too is impermanent, painful, not self. After he has comprehended as impermanent, painful, not self, the materiality of disappearance of what grows old in each stage, and that arising from nutriment, arising from temperature, come upon consciousness originated and natural, he comprehends that first consciousness as impermanent, painful, not self, by means of a second consciousness, and that second consciousness by means of a third, and the third by means of a fourth, and the fourth by means of a fifth. Here also. S. That too is impermanent, painful, not self. Comprehending thus full consciousness from each discerning of materiality, he is said to comprehend by moments. So this is said to be comprehending by moments. So there are five consciousness. So the first consciousness takes materiality as object. The second consciousness takes the first consciousness as object. The third consciousness takes the second consciousness as object. The fourth takes the third, and the fifth takes the fourth. Then you stop there. So that is by moments. Now, By series, number four, after he has comprehended this impermanent, painful, not just the materiality of the taking up and then so on, by means of a second, he comprehends that first consciousness as impermanent, painful, not self. By means of a second consciousness, and the second, by means of a third, and the third, by means of a fourth, go on, and the tenth, by means of an eleventh. And here also we should strike out these words, and that too he comprehends. So, and tenth, by means of an eleventh, is that too is impermanent, painful, not self. So here, in the previous method, he stops at comprehending the fourth consciousness by fifth consciousness. But here, he ends by comprehending the tenth by 11th consciousness. He doesn't go beyond 11th. I mean, beyond 10th, beyond comprehending the 10th. After he has comprehended as impermanent, painful, not self, the materiality of the disappearance of what grows old in each stage and so on, then he comprehends that consciousness as impermanent, painful, not self by means of his second consciousness, and the second by means of his third, and then the 10th by means of an 11th, as impermanent, painful, not self. Now, it would be possible to go on comprehending it in this way with serial insight even for a whole day. That means taking the 10 by 11, taking the 11 by 12, taking the 12 by 13, and so on and so on. He could go on the whole day. But both the material meditation subject and the immaterial meditation subject become familiar when the comprehending is taken as far as the 10th consciousness. So it is enough just to take up to the 10th consciousness. That is why it is said that it can be, I think it should be stopped at the 10th. So a yogi must stop at the 10th. He must not go on beyond 10th. Because that will make him distracted. It is when he comprehends in this way that he is said to comprehend by series. So that is comprehension by series. So consciousness takes materiality as object, and the second takes the first consciousness as object, and so on, until he reaches the 11th consciousness, takes the 10th as impermanent, and so on, then he stops there. By removal of false view, by abolition of conceit, and by ending of attachment, there is no individual method for any of these three, so there is no special method. But when he has discerned this materiality as described above and this immateriality as described here, then he sees that there is no living being over and above the material and the immaterial and so on. So this is a description of the removal of false view, abolition of conceit, and ending of attachment, how he comes to this by discerning the mentality and materiality actually as impermanent, suffering, and no self. Now, paragraph 83. But in the discourse on the Noble One's heritages, now there are two kinds of discourses here mentioned by Visuddhimagga, and the commentary, the sub-commentary didn't say, it didn't give us any information about these two methods, the discourse of the Noble Ones and the other one. Discourse of the Noble One heritages and discourse on purification. So they seem to be two lines of instructions given at the time of the Venerable Bodhugosa. So in the discourse on Noble One's heritages, after setting forth the headings thus, as removal of false view, as abolition of conceit, as ending of attachment, the following method is set forth. There is no removal of false view in one who takes it thus. I see with insight, my insight. There is removal of false view in one who sees it thus. Only formation sees formations with insight, comprehend, define, discern, and delimit them. So when you say, I see, then there is a kind of false view. because we have not yet gotten rid of the view of I. So only when we see then only formations with insight, then there is a removal of false field. There is no abolition of conceit in one who takes it thus. I see thoroughly with insight. I see well with insight. So I can see this. Maybe no other cannot. So there is the abolition of conceit in one who takes it thus. Only formation sees formation with insight and so on. Then there is no ending of attachment to one who is pleased with insight thus. I am able to see with insight. Sometimes when people see this, they are attached to that seeing, they like it. Because this seeing is a result of the individual's meditation, and so he is attached to this seeing. When he is attached to this seeing, then he cannot get rid of attachment. So when you say, I am able to see with insight, there is no ending of attachment. But there is ending of attachment in one who takes it thus, only formation, see formation with insight, comprehend, and so on. And there is removal of false view in one who sees thus. If formations were self, it would be right to take them as self. But being not self, they are taken as self. So they are taken to be self, although in fact they are not self. Therefore they are not self in the sense of no power being exercisable over them. So they do not lend themselves to be ordered by some power or some being. So they are impermanent in the sense of non-existence after having come to be. They are painful in the sense of oppression by rise and fall. So these are always explained with regard to painful, impermanence and anatta or not self. No power being exercisable over them. That is the reason for being anatta, not self. And non-existence after having come to be, and this is a reason for being impermanent. And oppression by rise and fall is the reason for being dukkha, suffering or painful. There is abolition of conceit in one who sees thus. If formations were permanent, it would be right to take them as permanent and so on. So these paragraphs explain how conceit and others are removed and not removed. So this is how, paragraph 88, this is how he comprehends formations by attributing the three characteristics to them by means of the immaterial sattva. So these are the seven ways of comprehending the immaterial to be impermanent and so on. At this stage, both the material meditation subject and the immaterial meditation subject have become familiar to him. So he was very familiar with both matter and mind or mental things when he comes to this stage. Now, having thus become familiar with the material and immaterial meditation subjects, and so having penetrated here already a part of these and those 18 principal insights which are later to be attained in all their aspects by means of full understanding as abandoning, studying with contemplation of the solution, he consequently abandons things opposed to what he has already penetrated. Now, the 18 principal insights are given here. Some of them will be described in a section on contemplation of dissolution, and others will be explained in next chapter. So we can just leave them here. So they are called the 18 principal vipassana, 18 principal insights. The contemplation of impermanence, contemplation of pain, contemplation of not self, contemplation of dispassion, and so on. So we will come to them later. So we'll go to the knowledge of contemplation of rise and fall, paragraph 93 and following. So by practicing comprehension, comprehension by groups, the comprehension of matter and comprehension of mind, in various ways than the comprehension. The knowledge, vipassana knowledge in the yogi becomes strong. And then after that comprehending knowledge, the yogi goes to the knowledge of contemplation of rise and fall, contemplation of arising and disappearing. Having purified his knowledge in this way by abandoning the perceptions of permanence, etc., which oppose the contemplations of impermanence, etc., he passes on from comprehension knowledge and begins the task of attaining that of contemplation of rise and fall, which is expressed thus. So from here, we will from time to time look at the notes. I think it is like a guide for the paragraphs following. So the first is, after comprehension knowledge, he passes on to contemplation of rise and fall. So, and then what he does, when he does it first in brief. So the contemplation of rise and fall, he does it first in brief. And then he does it in detail by way of conditions and instance. So the first one is a brief method of contemplation. Now, when he does so, he does it first in brief. Here is the text. How is it that understanding of contemplating present states change in knowledge of contemplation of rise and fall? Present materiality is born materiality. That means materiality that has been born is present. The characteristic of its generation is rise. The characteristic of its change is fall. The contemplation is knowledge. Now, the present materiality is born, or materiality which has been born is present. Now here, present materiality is called born. That means it is included in the trial of instance. You see the footnote on the next page. Present materiality is called born materiality. It is included in the trial of instance of arising, presence, and dissolution is what is meant. That means materiality that has been born is present means materiality that is endowed with these three instances, the arising, present, and dissolution. That means a real present. But that is hard to discern at the start. So the interpreting by insight should be done by means of presence according to continuity. Now, to really see the three instances, the arising, presence, and dissolution, is difficult. So for the beginner, it is almost impossible. And so the insight should be done by means of presence according to continuity. That means, say the metta in one condition does not go over to another condition. Say when you are cold, you have a certain kind of material properties in your body, and those does not go over to the stage when you become cold, and so on. So this is called presence according to continuity. There are different kinds of presence. Pachyobana presence. You remember that? Now, sometimes we call presence the whole life. We call it the present, right? And also, sometimes we call present which lasts for some time, like the material properties lasting for the time when we are warm or when we are hot, and then when we are cold, then different material properties arise. So that is So that is called continuity present. And the instant present is the moment, momentary present. That is that is actually the real present. Okay. Having the three sub-moments of arising, presence, and dissolution. So there are three kinds of present. Can you go to chapter 13? Chapter 13, paragraph 111. Not in this book.
Yeah.
Chapter 13, right? Mm-hmm. So, just make a note. So, the present materiality is born materiality. The characteristic of each generation is Christ. The characteristic of each change is form. The contemplation is knowledge. Now, the characteristic of each generation is rise. So arising is characteristic of each generation, and falling is characteristic of each change. And the contemplation is knowledge. Present feeling, perception, formations, consciousness, I, etc. So present becoming is born. That means becoming that has been born is present. The characteristic of each generation is rise, characteristic of each change is for the contemplation is knowledge. It is taken from Bodhisambhita Magga. Now, do you notice that it stops with becoming? Because in the place of etc., you have to understand many things. So where do you find becoming?
In the present?
No. The mention of becoming. Dependent origination. Right. Now, after becoming, what comes? Birth, old age, and death. Right? So, please read the footnote. For the elation represented by etc. See chapter 20, paragraph 9. In this base, however, the last two members of the dependent origination are left out. Although still possessed of birth, aging, and death. So please add birth there. Although still possessed of birth, aging, and death are mentioned under the heading of birth and of aging and death in comprehension by groups, etc., nevertheless, here in the description of knowledge of rise and fall, if it was said, present birth is born, the characteristic of each generation is rise, the characteristic of each change is fall, etc., it would be tantamount to an affirmation and approval of the proposition that birth and aging and death were possessed of birth and aging and death. That is why they are left out. There, birth, aging, and death is death are one thing, and those that have birth, aging, and death are another. Say, ignorance. Ignorance has arising, presence, and disappearing. But here, if we take birth if we not stop at becoming, but going to birth, decay, and death, then they themselves will have them or something like that. It is an absurd saying. Birth has birth possess birth. Say aging possess aging and death possesses death. Something like that. That is why these two are left out. So the text ends with becoming in order to avoid that. Now birth is the arising of things, right? And aging is the the deterioration of things, and then dissolution is the disappearing of things. So birth cannot have another birth. Although, say, ignorance or formations can have birth, decay, and death. But birth itself cannot have birth, decay and death, because it itself is birth. So that is why these two, the last two links are left out here. In accordance with the method of this text, he sees the characteristic of generation, the birth, the arising, the aspect of renewal, of born. I'm reading paragraph 95. In accordance with the method of this text, he sees the characteristic of generation, the birth, the arising, the aspect of renewal, of born, mentality and materiality. So mentality is missing there. Of born mentality and materiality as rise. And he sees their characteristic of change, their destruction, their dissolution as fall. If you look at the passage on page 734, then there is materiality, and then there is feeling, there is mentioned feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness. And also the eye, ear, and so on, many things there. So, in accordance with that method, method of this text, he sees the characteristic of generation or arising, the birth, the arising, the aspect of renewal of born, mentality and materiality, both mind and matter, not only of matter, but also of mind. So, the arising of mind and matter as the arising, and he sees their characteristic of change, destruction, and dissolution as fall. He understands thus, there is no heap or stew of unarisen mentality, or here mentality, materiality, existing prior to its arising. When it arises, it does not come from any heap or stew, and when it ceases, it does not go in any direction. There is nowhere any depository in the way of heap or stew or hold of what has ceased and so on. And then there is the simile. Now in the simile, it is brought into being owing to the lute's neck and the man's appropriate effort, and having been, it vanishes. So do all material and immaterial states. Not having been, are brought into being, having been, they vanish. Now, the lute's neck, the Pali word here normally means the lute's neck, but the sub-commentary explains it to mean not the lute's neck, but I think it's called a pick, right? To play the string. They use something, right?
Yeah.
So, it should be, how do you call it? Just a pick? So, owing to the lute, the pick, and the man's appropriate effort, and having been, it vanishes, and so on. So the sound arises only when the lute is played, and it is not stored anywhere before it comes into being, and it is not stored anywhere after it goes out of being. And so, in the same way, the mind and matter just arises. And before arising, there is no, they are not stored anywhere. And after vanishing, they are not stored anywhere. So, that is why at every moment there is new mind, new matter, and so on. Having given attention to rise and fall and breathe, thus he again does so in detail. So now he contemplates in detail. Now here, he sees the rise of materiality aggregate in the sense of conditions arising thus. When the arising of ignorance, with the arising of ignorance, there is the arising of materiality. Now what is meant here is, he sees the arising of materiality by way of its conditions or its cause. So, instead of saying in the sense of conditions arising, we should say by the nature of arising of conditions. With the arising of ignorance, there is arising of materiality. That means, because there is ignorance, there is matter. So, but he sees the arising of matter by way of its cause. Because of the existence of ignorance, there is arising. So, with the arising of ignorance, there is the arising of materiality. With the arising of craving, with the arising of karma, there is the arising of materiality. He sees the rise of materiality aggregate again by the nature of arising of condition. Thus, with the arising of nutriment, there is the arising of materiality. So these four are one group, and five is a separate group. One who sees the characteristic of generation sees the rise of materiality aggregate. Here he just sees the arising of material aggregate, not by way of its causes, not by way of the arising of its conditions, but it just sees its arising. One who sees the rise of materiality aggregate sees these five characteristics. That means four by way of conditions, and one, it is called by way of instant. We will come to that later. He sees the fall of the material aggregate in the sense of condition cessation. Here also we should say, by the nature of cessation of conditions. When there is no, with the cessation of ignorance, there is the cessation of materiality. So, when there is ignorance, when there is no ignorance, there is no materiality. So, with the cessation of conditions, he sees the cessation of materiality. Depending on the cessation of causes or conditions, he sees the cessation of materiality. And with the cessation of craving, with the cessation of karma also, he sees the fall of the materiality aggregate in the sense of conditions cessation. The same thing here. With the cessation of nutriment, there is the cessation of materiality, and so on. Then five, one who sees the characteristic of change sees the fall of the materiality aggregate. So when one sees change, then one sees the fall or disappearance of materiality. One who sees the fall of the materiality aggregate sees these five characteristics. Likewise, he sees the rise of the feeling aggregate, same thing, not the sense of conditions arising, but by the nature of arising of conditions. And then he sees the feeling aggregate, the fall of feeling aggregate in the same five ways. And as in the case of feeling aggregate, that is, substituting contact for the nutriment in the case of materiality, so for the perception and formations aggregate. So also for the consciousness aggregate, with this difference, that for the phrases containing contact, they are substituted with the arising of mentality, materiality, and with the cessation of mentality, materiality. Because the fifth aggregate is consciousness aggregate. And in the dependent origination, we have, and depending on mind and matter, consciousness arises. Something like that. So there are 50 characteristics stated in the with the 10 in the case of each aggregate by seeing rise and fall. So there are 5 ways for seeing rise and 5 ways for seeing fall. So altogether 10 in each aggregate, by means of which he gives attention in detail according to condition and according to instant. So according to condition means depending upon the arising or cessation of conditions, he sees the arising and cessation of the 5 aggregates. According to the moment means seeing the very arising and the falling of the aggregates. Here he does not see the arising or falling of conditions, but just arising and falling off the aggregates themselves. So that is mentioned here as according to instant or moment. The rise of materiality is thus, its fall is thus, it, so it rises, so it falls. Thus it does, so his knowledge becomes clearer thus. So it seems these states not having been are brought into being, having been they vanish and so on. Now, when he sees rise and fall in two ways, by way of conditions and by way of instance, different truths, aspects of event and origination, methods and characteristics become evident to him. So, now, in the book, we should say different truths rather than several truths. When he thus sees rise and fall in the two ways, according to condition and according to instant, the different truths, aspects of dependent origination, methods and characteristics become evident to him. And then the author explained what is meant by according to condition and what is meant by according to instant. That is in paragraph 99. And then with the paragraph 100 and so on, he explained